Welcome to the Buckmaster Show for Thursday, April 26, 2012. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI. We call it The Voice, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and we simulcast on KAPR AM 930 in Douglas. We live stream the show on my website, buckmastershow.com, and at kvoi.com, and you can hear our program anytime, anywhere in the world, at buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, and tucsoncitizen.com. We make it very easy for you. If you can't hear the show live, we post it usually by about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. But we are live right now, Monday through Friday, noon to 1. We'll kick things off with a newsmaker interview, Dr. Mark Stegeman. Dr. Stegeman is with me live in studio. He's head of the TUSD Governing Board. He has some things to say about the board and the recent letter from past board members criticizing him and his colleagues. About 20 minutes past the hour, Sierra Vista Herald reporter Bill Hess will join us, talking about the latest water dispute in that Cochise County community. 30 minutes or so past the hour, Michael Keith of the Downtown Tucson Partnership with an update on the Congress Street modern streetcar construction. Then we'll close out the show with Ken Schofield, the Buckmaster Show, the Buckmaster Show historian, talking about this week's fifth annual historical Miracle Mile open house and tour. You are always invited to join in the conversation, the Buckmaster Live Line 790-2040. Let's begin now with Dr. Mark Stegeman, president of the TUSD Governing Board. Dr. Stegeman is an economist. He is with the Eller College of Business at the University of Arizona. Dr. Stegeman, good to see you.
Nice to be here, Bill.
Tell me something. I'm going to get right to the bottom line here. This has been a very troublesome year for the Tucson Unified School District. Do you have any regrets about the way things have played out this year?
Bill, of course, there's always something you could have done better, but I have no major regrets. We had a bad time, a difficult time with the Mexican-American studies issue, but we were stuck between three big rocks. The state came in very aggressively. We had a program that had some genuine issues, which we had inherited from previous boards, and we had a local constituency that wanted no compromise, even though I tried to work on compromises for a year and a half. So that was a tough channel to get through, and we got through it, and I'm looking forward to moving on to the issues that affect the whole district.
Will there be some Mexican-American history taught at TUSD?
Yes, we want to do two things. The board said clearly that we want to get more Mexican-American history and culture into the standard core, that all students see, all Hispanic students, all Anglo students, everyone should see this in this region, and we're committed to that. And I would personally like to introduce some courses emphasizing, for example, Mexican-American literature and regional history. Not a program of the same size we had before, but I think those courses like that would make sense in this region.
You have been called some really awful names. You've been called a racist. Are you a racist?
Bill, I don't think that anyone who knows me thinks that I am in the least respect a racist, honestly, and I think you could ask anybody. And I think even some of the people who say that have a hard time saying it with a straight face.
Dr. Mark Stegeman is with us. He is the president of the TUSD Governing Board. Now, what about this letter from a group of former TUSD board members who have individually served over a span of nearly 40 years, dating back to 1975? There's some big names on the list. Alex Rodriguez, who, by the way, will be our guest next week on this program, not particularly talking about this issue, but he's at the White House this week on some economic issues. But
yes, I heard.
Yes, so he's going to tell us about that next week, but we may ask him about the letter as well. But you had Raul Grijalva and you had others who wrote this letter. Let me say something to you and ask you this. Was this a cheap shot to you and your fellow board members?
The board members said that we should work together better. And the way they chose to work together was to write a letter, release it to the media before we even knew it was coming, and then hold a press conference. And I don't think that's a very good model of working together. And they criticized us in the letter for having too much media contact and generating negative headlines. And the way they delivered that message was going out to the media and generating the biggest negative headline of the year above the fold. So I don't think they were modeling what they were preaching.
On the Buckmaster Show live line, you'll need to slip your headset on there, Dr. Stegeman. We have David Morales, the author of the blog Three Sonorans. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, I was wondering, Mark Stegeman noted earlier that there was three forces, but he failed to mention a huge one. And a few years ago, San Francisco School District, California passed an anti-bilingual ed proposition, and they were able to get out of it because they were under a federal desegregation order. So one of the things that Stegeman forgot to mention was that there's a federal desegregation order on the district, which could have been used to trump any state law. So I was wondering if he could comment on why he chose to ignore the federal government and the desegregation order.
Okay, go ahead, Dr. Stegeman.
After we voted to suspend the classes, the Mendoza plaintiffs from our desegregation case went to the court, as you know, and said that this was against the order, and the court denied that request and said that we were within our rights to do that. So I think we did have that latitude.
Okay, so getting back, the letter, and one of the things pointed out in the letter was the appearance of board member Michael Hicks on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart on the Comedy Channel, and anyone who checked that out on YouTube, I mean, it was embarrassing.
My policy is not to ever criticize other board members, not to criticize a superintendent or other staff, but I...
You saw the clip.
I saw it and watched it numerous times, and it was, we could safely say, unfortunate. And the timing was very unfortunate, too, coming just before a big vote on a personnel issue.
You're running for re-election?
Yes, definitely.
And what will the theme of your campaign be?
I think I've achieved quite a few things for the district. Compared to some other board members in the past, this is not a board that has sat on its hands, and I'm not talking about the Mexican-American Studies issue, but I have pushed hard for re-procuring some of our contracts. I can fairly say that I'm pretty directly responsible for saving the district millions of dollars. I've pushed us I've advocated for a self-insurance plan that's saving us millions of dollars on our health insurance. I was the prime mover for our new recess policy, which gets some physical education in the elementary schools. I was a prime mover for creation of the Technology Oversight Committee, which is private citizens who I think have made a big difference in the IT area for the district. So I think I have a pretty good record of achievement.
How about this survey that you're asking for public input? And this goes along with my question. How does the district move forward at this point?
I think Dr. Petticone is right to put out this survey because it shows we want input, we want to listen to the community and hear what they want. I want us to move forward. I'm speaking just myself now. I want us to move forward on the social promotion issue and retention issue. I think everyone understands that we graduate people from high school who are not where high school students should be. And I think the community would like to see the board get out in front of this issue and take some serious policy action to change this. We're not going to change that overnight, but we do need to change that. And I think we need to get our administrative costs down too.
I have a question on Facebook that came in from one of our Facebook listeners who listens to this show up in Flagstaff, where they are doing a bond issue because of loss of enrollment because of charter schools. They've lost hundreds of students there, may even be thousands. But TUSD is also losing enrollment. Is there a bond issue in the future for TUSD?
Oh, no. I don't think we would have any chance of passing anything in the near future. I voted against the last one that we put on the ballot, not because I didn't support the idea, but because I thought it was a waste of money and we weren't going to win, and we didn't. I'm hoping that 2 or 3 years down the road, if we can convince the community that we're spending their money wisely, we might have a chance to do that. But we're definitely not there now.
But loss of enrollment to charter schools, that is a big issue. And the board unanimously approved opening a charter school on the shuttered Ritchie Elementary campus. Why is TUSD kind of going that direction for charter schools?
I think Ritchie was the one closure we did recently that I opposed. That school was strongly supported by the Pascua-Yaka community. And I pushed strongly as soon as we had that closure vote to reopen something there. And so I think I can fairly say I was maybe the prime mover behind this event. I think we want to experiment with charters. Vail has a couple of charter schools. I think it can make sense for the district, especially in schools that are a little bit different for some reason. This school will be a little bit smaller, and I think the charter model will work better for that school, and it will let us get our feet wet with that kind of institution.
12:15 now on the Buckmaster Show. Dr. Mark Stegeman is with us. He's the board president at TUSD. He'll also be seeking re-election to the TUSD governing board. What kind of shape is the district in financially now? And getting back to that enrollment, what is the enrollment situation now with TUSD? And are you losing lots of students to the charter schools, or is that pretty much slowed down?
No, it has not slowed down. We have been in enrollment slide for 5 or 6 years, losing more than 1,000 students a year, and I expect that to continue. Now, it's not just the charter schools. Districts all over the state have been losing enrollment. We've had some out-migration from Tucson, so TUSD is not unique, but much of it is to charters and privates, and we have to acknowledge that. And my commitment is that in the end, we're going to beat these guys. I'm not saying all the charters are bad, and we're never going to drive basis out of business, and we shouldn't, because they provide a valuable service to the community. But a lot of the charters aren't good, and in the end, if we do our job right, we should be able to beat those guys in the market by providing a better product.
Has TUSD been a public relations nightmare?
I think that our public relations has left something to be desired, Bill. I think that would be a pretty safe statement. But the most important part of public relations is not how you spin things, but actually doing your job right. And if you do your job right and you fix things, then in the end, that message will get out. And so that's our first job, not to fix the PR, which is important. Our first job is to do things right in the district, and then that makes the PR job much easier.
Okay, Dr. Mark Stegeman, thank you for being on the Buckmaster Show, and have a great afternoon.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Dr. Mark Stegeman, president of the TUSD Governing Board. From TUSD to the water issues to our friends in Cochise County, Bill Hess is coming up next. He's the senior reporter with the Sierra Vista Herald. He is on the Buckmaster Show live line, and we will hear from him after you hear from our fine lineup of people who support the Buckmaster Show.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Augustus Paris Antiques is a very special place for the discriminating antique collector, specializing in one-of-a-kind pieces of 19th century to mid-20th century European antique furniture and objects of art. Owner Roberta Franzheim has a great eye for quality and lasting appeal. Augustus Paris Antiques is located at 2522 East Fort Lowell, just east of the intersection of Fort Lowell and Tucson Boulevard. Augustus Paris Antiques, 289-5181.
Two of the world's largest pharmaceutical giants, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, know where bio works. It works at Innovation Park in Oro Valley, one of the 10 best towns for families, according to Family Circle magazine. Bioscience and bioindustry, working together at Innovation Park with 275 acres of inspiring environment ready for biodevelopment. Learn more about where bio works at innovationparkaz.com. Noble Hops Gastropub is for people who revere their beer and their food. Noble Hops specializes in high-quality, delicious food and offers an impressive, ever-changing selection of handcrafted beers from around the world with more than 24 on tap. Noble Hops, a pub for foodies at the southeast corner of La Canada and Lambert in Oro Valley, and always on the web at noblehopspub.com and on Facebook.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Well, 21 on the Buckmaster Show. Hello, I'm Bill Buckmaster on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, simulcasting out of Douglas and serving Cochise County out of KAPR in Douglas, AM 930. Well, the federal government is trying to stop the state of Arizona from certifying that a planned Sierra Vista development has enough water for 100 years. It's the first time in years the U.S. Bureau of Land Management has questioned development in the Sierra Vista area due to concerns about groundwater pumping possibly drying up the San Pedro. The San Pedro is the Southwest's last free-flowing desert river. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show live line from Sierra Vista is Bill Hess. Bill is the senior reporter for the Sierra Vista Herald, and Bill is one of Arizona's most respected journalist. Bill, how are you?
Fine, Bill. And how you been doing?
Doing real well, and it's good to have you on the program. And Bill, I want to begin with Sierra Vista, unlike Tucson, is not in what is known as an active management area where a developer must prove a 100-year water supply to build. So why this attention to this particular development?
Well, you know, this water issue has been going on for many, many years here, concerning the fort's involvement, and, you know, it's just an issue that will not evaporate. It continues on, and what the issue is the federal government, when they established the San Pedro Riparian National Conservation Area, they believe that it comes with it, the water rights, making them senior. That is what they are using as the shovel, if you will, the hammer against the city, to saying we have the senior water rights, we are going to protect the river, and tribute as a development is very large, 7,000 residences plus others. They're saying we've got to protect the river, and that's where they're going to go. And of course, what has started now is the community is upset that the federal government is now coming into and dictating local policies, which they don't believe they have a right to. They believe it's a state rights issue, not a federal rights issue.
That was approved, this development, by Sierra Vista in 2006. It's scheduled to start construction this year. Will this delay the construction, Bill?
I don't know if it'll delay the construction because the economy hasn't really improved that much. There may be, the company itself may delay starting the first shovel load, if you will. But what they're trying to get ready is a special plant that will process used water, and that water will then be pumped up to the PDS golf course, which is a Castle and Cook property. And right now, Castle and Cook is pumping groundwater to that golf course to water it, and that will eliminate that use. But that's, you know, a year or so away before that plant is even built.
So it's hard to say how the city will react if the Bureau of Land Management prevails in all of this.
That is correct. I mean, the city will have to give the final plat. The final plat would have to be approved. Then will that mean BLM will come in and say and bring their lawyers in and say, nope, then that puts it in the court, which, as we all know, will take years. If it's any example of the Gila River adjudication process, which has been going on for nearly three decades. So who knows what will happen in that case. I wouldn't put any money on either side right now in this issue.
Speaking of money on either side, how do you let's switch gears here, Bill, while we have you on the Buckmaster Show. How do you see this special CD8 race shaping up in Cochise County between Ron Barber and Jesse Kelly?
Well, I think they both have they're both trying to find which way they want to go right now. If you notice some of the material that's being sent out by both campaigns, which I find interesting, is that really the hard hitters in both campaigns are either the state Democratic Party or the state Republican Party sending out broadcasts and sheets and what have you on this. Mr. Barber, Ron, I've known for years, seems to be doing a little bit of backpedaling because he's trying to disassociate himself somewhat from Giffords. And his comments in the past, recently, let's say not in the past, but recently, indicating that, you know, he believes everything she has said, and he was involved in making this, helping her with some of the laws and decisions. He seems to be wanting to doing a little bit of a walk on this issue. Now, when it comes to Jesse Kelly, he's also trying to find himself. There's a lot of negative things going on, saying he's only a high school graduate. Well, let's not go there. There are many famous people who have done nothing more than high school graduates who were very successful, or not even high school graduates. We just have to look at Lincoln. So, but the problem with him is that when he speaks to an issue, as one person told me, he's a talking bumper sticker. So I think what right now, this next week or so, they're trying to find their footing and which way they really want to take their campaign. And they are getting advice, and I think they're not ready there yet to know which way they want to walk out on this one.
But Cochise County is important in this race, isn't it?
Yes, we're not. We don't have as many, of course, elect voters or precincts as does Tucson, the Tucson area that's still in it. But it is important because there's a feeling, and I don't know if I subscribe to this feeling, that whoever wins it has incumbency. I don't consider 6 months in office incumbency, which is basically what they will have. But they're feeling that the individual who wins will then be able to go ahead on into the new CD2. And CD2 is more democratic, and even though we're still a small number total of that in the new CD2, whoever wins could have a step up, but I'm not too sure that it will really translate into that. So they're just trying to find their footing right now into how they really want to get together. And I think the first joint meeting they have in the debate or what have you will really put it down to where we'll know where they're going to go with their campaign and what they're going to really try to do.
Bill Hess is with us, Sierra Vista Herald. Bill is one of the senior news people in the state of Arizona. Bill's been covering news. How long have you been covering news, Bill?
I started working for the Wood Communications in 1984.
And, of course, you had a long career in the U.S. Air Force. At one time, you were the public relations coordinator at Davis-Monthan Air Force Base.
That's correct.
Do you think we'll get the F-35 here at DM? What are you hearing?
That's another issue, environmental. I've seen some people putting some concerns out that the F-35 and their flights and their training flights will impact the environment, especially the noise harming certain species, and if a plane drops or what have you, that there'll be destruction to the environment. I think that economically, it would be good for Tucson. Anything like that would be good for Tucson. Down here, we would get the airplanes flying in and out using Libby Army Airfield. I've seen the noise contours. They don't seem to impact any of the residential areas off the installation.
Okay, Bill Hess, we're going to have to run. It's good to talk to you again, and since this radio show is heard throughout southeastern Arizona, we'll have you on again. It's been too long, Bill, since we've talked.
Well, take care, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Bill Hess from the Sierra Vista Herald on the Buckmaster Show. Coming up next, what's going on with Congress Street and the streetcar construction, the modern streetcar waiting in the wings? Michael Keith, he is the CEO of the Downtown Tucson Partnership. This is Buckmaster on KVOI.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. The U.S. is reportedly expanding its use of drone aircraft in the war on al-Qaeda in Yemen. There's been another killing of an American in Afghanistan by someone who was wearing an Afghan Army uniform. House Speaker John Boehner accusing the president of concocting a fight with Republicans over student loans and billing taxpayers for his trips to college campuses so he can blast Republican lawmakers. The government says some 68,000 guns recovered by Mexican authorities over the past 5 years have been traced back to the U.S. On Wall Street, heading into the final half hour of today's trading, the Dow is up 131 points at 13,221, the NASDAQ ahead 25, the S&P trading 10 points higher. More details at srnnews.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
With 275 acres of stunning environment, Innovation Park in Oro Valley is ready for development. Already two of the world's largest pharmaceuticals, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, are settled in Innovation Park. Innovation Park, a great place to do business in Oro Valley, named one of the 10 best towns for families by Family Circle magazine. Find out more at innovationparkaz.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of healthcare in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including five major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing: people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
.12:34 on the Buckmaster Show. Welcome back. We are on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. And, of course, lots of publicity surrounding the start of construction on Tucson's modern streetcar through the downtown area. And joining me in studio on the Buckmaster Show is Michael Keith. It's good to see you, Michael. Michael is CEO of the Downtown Tucson Partnership, and he is going to give us an update on how things are going as we are now about a couple of weeks into this. Good to see you, Michael.
Yeah. Bill, thanks for having me on again.
How would you characterize the way it is going?
We're actually kind of stunned. It is going so well down there right now. And I know that's my job to say that, but it truly is.
Some people are probably saying, well, what else would he say?
No, exactly. I mean,
you would expect major hassles, but I guess it hasn't gone that
way. God, no. All the through traffic is not coming through downtown anymore. So the traffic that's being directed from Broadway down Toole is flowing beautifully. All the garages are accessible and open. We've lost 84 out of 15,000 parking spaces, so every one of those surface spaces are there. ParkWise just came up with a new program to reduce parking rates in their three main garages, $3 a day on Monday through Thursday with the first hour free. Weekends is still $5 all day with the first hour free. I mean, it's ridiculous compared to any other city in the world. But if you come in...
Overall, we've always had low parking.
Yeah, and now...
Low parking rates.
So you get secure and covered parking for $3 all day in the middle of the week. The sidewalks are great. Because there's no vehicular traffic, it's a pleasure to stroll down. Even Congress, Granite's doing a great job. There's very little disruption down there. They are keeping everything just so clean and neat. It's been great. What's happening, though, I mean, the problem for us is that the foot traffic's low enough that our small retailers are really having a problem. The bigger restaurants are doing okay, but we need to...
Yeah, that's we need to support our merchants. The restaurants, they're going to tough it out. They're going to tough it through. You know, sales will obviously be off a little bit because of this, but the merchants, that's what I worry about. It's a difficult it's difficult anyway, as you know, Michael Keith, in the summer to get by here when you're in business, but now this on top of that. So they really do need support.
Yeah, and we're going to have a series of events this summer that we're going to be advertising on your program and others. And we're hoping people will come down, and because some of those are directed to the merchants, and we have all kinds of wacky ideas we're working on. But as you hear those, come down. I mean, downtown, you have all those eating options and museum options in addition to the programs that we're going to put on and the competitions, and come down this summer.
How about 4th Avenue?
They're really also up to their eyeballs. They have a little different system, by the way, the work's being done there. The funny thing about them, as they like to joke, they never had any parking anyway, and all of us found our way down there, and it really hasn't changed for them. It's just as
Parking has always been an issue on 4th.
Yeah, and so now it's almost the same thing. It's not going to inconvenience you to go down there. You're just going to park on the side streets, and all those businesses are open. And actually, the construction part is really kind of interesting.
Charles is with us on the Buckmaster Show. Michael, if you'd slip your headset on there so you'll be able to hear. Charles has a comment about 4th Avenue, just talking about it. Go ahead, Charles.
Hi. I would just like to say, if you say we're doing great down there, I would suggest you probably have your eyes pretty tightly shut.
Well, I think he was talking about Congress initially. No, 4th is difficult. Yeah.
Fourth Avenue is a ghost town right now. Delectables is having the fight of its life to try and stay in business. And I don't know how any of them are going to survive this malfeasant, horrible treatment by the Regional Transportation Authority, which instead of closing one block at a time is closing four blocks at a time and doing it for 4 months rather than, say, a week at a time. And I'd like to know what you think it is we could do to get rid of this. I don't know if you've seen, have you seen the streetcar in Phoenix?
Yeah.
It's a disaster. It ruins two perfectly good lanes for traffic. and it gets in the way. They have a lot of incidences with cars hitting them. I'd like to know what it is we can do to get rid of this stupid rail system.
Well, I think,
listen to the answer on the radio.
Okay, thanks, Charles. Go ahead.
Well, I'm not sure I can address getting rid of the rail system.
Yeah, I think that's a go.
Yeah, that's a go, and it was approved by the voters as part of the Regional Transportation Authority. But my point, Charles, about 4th Avenue is that we're trying to encourage people to come down there and try to tell them that really, as far as how they approach 4th Avenue and get down there, that most of the parking spaces that they used to park on are still there on the side streets, and we need them to come down. Just like on Congress, we really, really need people to come down to 4th Avenue. It has such a unbelievable offering up and down the street. I mean, in many ways, it's got more to offer than Congress in the sense of the number of businesses, and we need to get people down there during this period.
Going on downtown, I think you've got commitments now is it four new restaurants?
Yeah, there's four more coming. Thunder Canyon Brewery is opening at the end of this summer on 5th and Broadway. The owners of Thule's is opening a place on 44 Broadway. Just west of the TEP building. We have Riley's is opening a pizza and pasta place on the corner of Scott and Pennington.
And, of course, yeah, people have heard that Janos has made the decision to shutter his Westin La Paloma site,
right.
Janos, but he made it very clear that at this point anyway, he really wants to concentrate on the downtown property, which is doing pretty well, I understand.
It's doing well. I mean, lunches are slow for all the restaurants downtown, but they're doing okay at night. And then the fourth place is the steak in the neighborhood that had closed and is reopening. Actually, there's five. There's a Greek restaurant in the works on Congress as well.
How about a historic preservation project?
Thank you.
Area that's very close to your heart.
Very dear and clear. Yeah, we have.
Because you started out as basically a historic preservationist and still consider yourself such.
Yeah, and a developer. We have two that just were awarded through our facade program. The Chicago store is finally going to get the renovation we have all hoped it would have. And the drawings, we saw the drawings yesterday, they're unbelievable. And the building that's on Pennington next to City High that belongs to the Petersons, right behind the Pioneer Building, used to be a shoe store, is going to be completely restored to its 1940s facade.
Chicago store, what's its history? How old a building is that?
That goes back to this turn of the century. It started out as a furniture store and then was JCPenney's and then became the Chicago store in the mid-60s.
And, of course, getting back to Charles's call, he's not a big fan, as we heard, of the modern streetcar, but many others do believe that it will bring along the route economic development. I think you're in that school, aren't you?
I am, and I'm not trying to downplay Charles's position on this. This is a really tough time, and there's no getting around that. But I have to believe that when this is all done and clear and we emerge on the other side of this, that this is a chance to reposition Tucson as a very new and interesting place with this 4-mile corridor. I think there's 100,000 people that are within walking distance of that corridor. It's the first leg of what's supposed to be a larger regional transportation plan, and hopefully years to come when all of this is put piece together, this is really going to make a lot more sense.
We had Councilman Cunningham on the program on Monday, and he wanted to, well, Michael Keith, he's trying to resurrect the idea of an arena downtown. I asked him about why not just sort of concentrate on the TCC and just bring that up to standard and whether or not the money works out one way or another. How do you feel about it?
I would like to see a large discussion on the entire convention center, the hotels, the arena concept. I think with the amount of development and investment in downtown, we've built up this very sustainable base of retailers and restaurants, and I think they're coming in at the right time at the back end of this. that can kind of secure all the gains that we've made. But I think it needs to be carefully thought out as part of a master plan. And I know nobody wants to hear those words anymore, but as a developer, how would you piecemeal develop a little piece at a time and make it all work? And this is a moment to step up and do something really comprehensive there.
So you're saying this is really a decision point or kind of a break point when we look at the future of TCC and what direction do we really want to go when it comes to convention business?
Yeah, that's that needs to be discussed, obviously. And are there other uses for that site besides a convention, and how much business does it bring? I think the economics should drive that, but there are a lot of other considerations about open space and housing and retail, now that it's all on the streetcar line, that could be integrated into that.
And you have said before, U of A students housing downtown was a really key to getting downtown going.
Yeah, and you know, it's starting on June, the first week of June.
Will that be? That's
on the east end of Congress next to the Rialto and above that new parking garage. So they're going to break ground the first 2 weeks of June, and there's a third project that's being considered. Two more housing projects actually in the works for downtown.
Well, the point is, I think definitely downtown is struggling through this point right now with the construction, but please support our local merchants.
Yeah, support downtown and support Fourth Avenue. They all need your help right now. They've all put their livelihoods and their lives on the line to open these businesses, and we'll try to provide the events, and you guys provide the energy and the support.
Okay, Michael Keith, he's the CEO of the Downtown Tucson Partnership, talking a little bit about what's going on downtown in the midst of this very difficult time. Coming up on 12:46 on the Buckmaster Show, and we will certainly keep it local. Now we're going to talk about Miracle Mile. That's going to be a fun event coming up this weekend. We'll be talking with historian and historic preservationist Ken Scoville. That is next on Thursday on Buckmaster.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Even the highest efficiency washing machine won't make your laundry soft and bright if you have hard water. It's the same for your dishwasher with spotted glasses. So why not call the Culligan man? Culligan now has a high-efficiency water softener that virtually eliminates hard water problems throughout your entire home. Your laundry is brighter and softer, glasses and shower doors are spot-free, and soaps and detergents last longer. Plus, it saves you up to 46% in water, salt, and energy. So if you're looking for ways to end hard water problems and save money around the house, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener works wonders. In fact, it makes all of your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer. Thanks to Culligan, 100% satisfaction guarantee, your future, your home, and your laundry are guaranteed to be brighter. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Why travel to Paris in search of that special antique when you have Augustus Paris Antiques right here in Tucson? Owner Roberta Fransheim specializes in selecting one-of-a-kind pieces of European antique furniture and objects of art from the 19th century to mid-20th century chic. Augustus Paris Antiques is located at 2522 East Fort Lowell, just east of the intersection of Fort Lowell and Tucson Boulevard. Augustus Paris Antiques, 289-5181.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for fresh and healthy pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is handcrafted using the finest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore's award-winning wood-fired pizzas, certified authentic by the world-renowned Verace Pizza Napolitana Academy, is pizza perfection. Vero Amore, North Swan at Camp Lowell, and in Marana at Dove Mountain, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com and on Facebook.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
@12:51 on the Buckmaster Show on this Thursday afternoon on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. I am Bill Buckmaster, and with me is Ken Scoville. Ken is one of 24 contributors who appear on this program once or twice a month, and we are always delighted to have him on. He's a local historian, historic preservationist, and he's very excited, as he should be, about what's going on with Tucson's Miracle Mile. And unlike all the problems downtown. First of all, Ken, good to see you.
Hi, Bill.
Unlike all the problems with construction downtown, there's no real problem out on Miracle Mile. In fact, people are excited about what's going on.
No problems on Miracle Mile. In fact, you could say the road is wide and clear for two great events coming up this weekend.
These are two major events happening on Miracle Mile this Friday and Saturday that we want to talk about. And I'm sure people are curious as to why this roadway in Tucson is called Miracle Mile.
Well, it's actually an historic roadway. In 1938, the first divided roadway in Arizona became what was called the Miracle Mile. When it was finished, it was supposed to be the safe way for transportation to come in, connecting two highways, the Florence Highway and the Casa Grande Highway, long before we would have our interstate freeway system. So it was a miracle that it was completed as the first design, and also some people think it was called the Miracle Mile because this is where a lot of early development would happen.
Well, I can remember when I came out here as a 17-year-old kid from Chicago in the mid-60s to go to the University of Arizona. I mean, I'm telling you, Ken, Miracle Mile was happening.
It was the place.
I mean, everybody would say, oh, you got to go out to the Miracle Mile. There's going to be a big party out there. There's going to be what they were called boondockers out in those days. You know, people would get a keg of beer and whatever. But the Miracle Mile had all these great kind of ma and pa motels with all the great neon signs, and that's come back.
It's really come back. I was on I've been on downtown committees, but this was a committee to revitalize the Miracle Mile area, and this is our fifth annual event, and it's a two-day event. In the evening, we're really celebrating the history of neon in Tucson, because as people came in, and just like you said for yourself, you're looking for a motel, and it's probably dark, and you're tired, and you see all these great neon signs.
You got this great desert sky behind it. I can still remember my first impressions of the Tucson night sky in late August, you know, with the clouds and then these neon signs.
And really, the historic gateway for everybody coming to Tucson, and what we're celebrating is the actual saving and then the restoration of four great neon signs that are now installed on the downtown Pima Community College campus. And tomorrow night is the big grand relighting of these signs. And it's a wonderful example of cooperation from lots of different areas. The Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation and Damian Klinko as president to rescue these signs, to keep them from going to the landfill, to the Pima Community College downtown campus saying, we'll give them a home, and then all the fundraising that went on to actually get the signs restored.
That's 6 o'clock for the relighting, live music, along with classic cars. There's even going to be a sock hop.
A different kind of dance.
Boy, that brings back some memories.
And also lessons with this. One thing that I think people want to, you know, it's going to be sort of a little freewheeling event, pardon the pun, that they're going to have a mid-century fashion show first. And then there's going to be other kinds of feature music, then the lighting, and then the sock hop and dancing. So it's going to go to about 9 o'clock.
Relighting a Medina's Sporting Goods sign, the Tropicana Motor Hotel sign, the Canyon State Motor Lodge sign, and the Magic Carpet Miniature Golf sign, all going to be relit. Then Saturday, there's fun, too.
Oh, well, Saturday is really the continuation of what we've done every year to show the rediscovery and revitalization on Miracle Mile. And the format's pretty much the same as other years. At 9 o'clock, there'll be guest lecturers talking about the different history of neon, especially will be some of the emphasis this year. Then we're also going to feature a new restoration, new revitalization project, and that's the Monterey Court, just where Miracle Mile starts to head west again to go out to the interstate. And it's been revitalized now as artist studios, working artists, and a cafe. And I remember when that was in foreclosure, and I even looked at it, and I'm willing to be very open-minded about saving lots of things, and I thought, boy, I don't know if we could save that one. But people came in, they said, we've got a great vision for it, and it's just wonderful. I was there just the other day.
And the Ghost Ranch Lodge was featured. That rebirth was, that was last year that was featured, and it became a low-income senior housing area, and it will be open again this year,
Be open again this year, and the featured attraction, as in past years, is still for people to visit the Cactus Garden. That is the Cactus Garden that Arthur Pack, who was the founder of the Desert Museum, when he came out here, he got started and actually introduced plants there that he would eventually bring out to the Desert Museum. The Boojum tree is one of the landmark Boojum trees in the States that's there. And also tying it with the neon theme, when the Ghost Ranch Lodge was restored, the sign was restored, that skull, cow skull, is actually a Georgia O'Keeffe design.
Wow. And you are going to be very much involved this weekend, and this is fun. You're going to do a Evergreen Cemetery tour.
Right, because the cemetery is part of the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. So at 8 a.m., I'm going to be doing a short walk, half hour, 45 minutes, in the oldest part of the cemetery. If people are interested in showing up, you would just go where Fort Lowell Dead Ends at Oracle, pardon the pun again, goes in, and you just drive into the cemetery there, and we're going to meet there. We're going to visit some of the early pioneers, talk about all the different cemeteries around Tucson, and how people ended up at Evergreen.
Evergreen was kind of the cemetery for the movers and shakers in the old days.
Well, it's how far back you want to call old days. But
well,
we had downtown was 1860s and 70s, but all the different things that have gone on, everybody sort of got moved up to Evergreen, relocated, as I say, or new people from about 1907 on. Two things I want to make sure that this year, we really try to have something for everybody. There's going to be tours of the crime lab at 10, 11, and 12, and it's a first-come, first-served. So if that's something you really want to do is get a tour of the crime lab and learn about forensics, show up there early, but there's going to be only limited to 15 people per tour.
And they're on the Miracle Mile.
And they're on the Miracle Mile. And another nice addition also, there's a wonderful photographic history of jazz across the United States. It's at the Pima Community College campus that you could see that morning. And some of them taken from people who used to have the Blue Moon performance venue here in Tucson. And there's going to be free shuttles. There'll be a driving guide to Miracle Mile. And that you can really find out what a treasure we have still in Tucson. If you go up to Phoenix, almost their whole motor court is gone. And we still have a treasure. We have a lot of things left to put back together to make it a real fun, interesting part of Tucson.
And the Yaqui neighborhood, is San Ignacio Yaqui neighborhood?
Yes, they're restoring one of the early buildings of when the Yaquis moved back into that area. So you can check out the restoration, some of the archaeology. There's also a pocket park in the Blue Moon neighborhood that's also become a garden, community garden, and that'll be another stop on it.
This is a huge community event, and the best way, Ken Schofield, the staging and the talking areas, where's kind of ground zero?
Ground zero where everybody wants to go is the Pima Community College campus downtown at Drockman and Stone. And things will begin at 9 o'clock, but show up early for the events there. Show up at 8 a.m. if you went to the cemetery tour. And just come out and have a great day. The weather should be fine, and the road is clear.
All right. Ken Scoville, historic preservationist and contributor to the Buckmaster Show. Thank you, Ken. Have fun this weekend. You give a great talk. We hear people love your talks, and that should be fun at the cemetery. Thank you.
Thank you.
The Buckmaster Show is brought to you in part by our friends at Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care community. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. The Buckmaster Show is also brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger & Associates, certified public accountants. If you are looking for a CPA, well, these are the folks. Contact Michael C. Flowers at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com. That will do it for the Thursday edition of the Buckmaster Show. We have plenty planned as usual on Friday. We will have our Friday Focus interview with the mayor of Sahuarita. He will be with me in studio along with Dan Scheer of the Green Valley News and, of course, then the Reporters Roundtable. Have a great afternoon. See you tomorrow.
KVOI Cortero Tucson and 930 KAPR Douglas, The Voice, Good News Radio Network.